So I've asked that Steve would come this morning and speak specifically about how stress is bad with relation to money. And so as he comes and he shares, I'm going to pray for him and pray for us that we would be open to what he has to say. Because the thing about money is that so often people just totally tune out because it's like, I'm not ready to surrender this yet. I'm not ready to give this whole money idea up to God because we don't know the other side of the coin.
That's good.
And so we are going to pray that God move in our hearts, move in Steve's heart, so that we can get to a point where money is no longer a stumbling block for any one of us for what God has called us into, but it becomes, I want to say, like a springboard to receiving everything God has. So let's pray for Steve. So Lord God, I thank you so much that Steve could be with us this morning. And Lord, Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would fall on him in such a powerful way, that he would experience your presence, that you would give him insight and boldness and courage to speak your truth. And Lord God, that we ourselves would not zone out, but we would be fully present, that we'd hear what it is that you have to say through Steve today. And Lord, that you would stir up stuff in our hearts and Lord, just rid us of that. That would separate us from you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, during this time to draw us closer to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before you go anywhere, if anybody zones out, I will come and preach beside you. I will sit right beside you, and I will preach right in the seat next to you. So just watch for me. I like to move. And Pastor Jen, before you take off, I wanted to let all of you guys know how much I appreciate your pastor. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. And one of the things that I've been in here, I've come into a very free Methodist church. And this is the first time you've been here since I've come. So I'm a little nervous to preach in front of you. I don't know if you've heard the things I've said. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. But one of the things I wanted to let you know is I've walked into Berry Free Methodist Church. Friday night I was preaching at a junior high, and I was preaching on how we are the fragrance of Christ, and our mood should be people's mood should be changing when they walk into a room with Christians. And every time I've walked into Berry Free Methodist Church, you guys need to know and you need to understand how welcoming you are as a guest coming into this church, how loving you are as a church. Because I'm coming in, you guys don't know me, and you're loving on me, you're caring for me, and I believe that is a reflection of your pastor. And if we could just take a moment and honor your pastor. Because let me tell you something, guys. I was a youth pastor for 11 years. I didn't have the burden of what it meant to be a lead pastor. But it's huge. Lead pastors carry a large burden. I felt it as a youth pastor, but what she carries every day, she cares for our soul. She cares for our soul. She cares for our well-being. And you guys know Pastor Jen? She cares. And she loves you guys. So make sure you continue just to give her thanks. Just thank you for what you do. Thank you for caring for us. Thank the staff for what they do here, because it's hard. It's a tough job being a pastor. So thank you. You can go now. She's like, let me out of here. All right, are you guys ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So as Pastor Jen mentioned, we are in part two of our series, Making Change and Stress is Bad. We all know that money can be one of the biggest stress factors in our lives. And we've never heard anyone say, Lord, thank you for my debt. Lord, I'm so thankful that I woke up with $30,000 debt. Nobody has ever said that, ever, correct? Stress is bad. Finances can be good. So everywhere we go, we're encouraged to go into debt. We're encouraged to overextend ourselves financially, even though we know debt is bad. So I pulled up a few slogans from credit cards. I don't know if you can pull them up here. This is really funny. This is from Ford Citibank card, and it says, get the card that gets you the car. I don't know if you guys know it. Like, this stuff works, or they wouldn't be doing it, correct? This stuff works. Let's see another slogan. From Access Credit Cards in England. It takes the waiting out of wanting. Your flexible friend. It works! It apparently works! Bank of America once said, today's way to pay, think of it as money. Right? Right? I don't know if you know this, but it's money. It's money. Let's see the last one. MBNA credit cards say, start living your dreams. I wonder what would happen if we had real slogans. What they don't advertise is stress. It says the stress comes from the payments after you purchased it. What if the slogans look like this? Get the card that will add stress you never knew you needed. What if it looked a little bit more like that? Everyone knows financial stress is bad. And it's the number one. Did you know that it's the number one cause of fights in your marriage? You knew that? The divorce rate is extremely high for families that have financial stress. When I was here earlier this month, I shared that my wife and I, we only have mortgage debt right now. No credit card payments, no car payments. We're trying to live like nobody else. You guys know the Dave Ramsey saying? We're trying to live like nobody else so later on we can live like nobody else. And one of the things that we even do with our kids, just so you know, by the way, it's going to be show and tell. I've got a ton of props here. My wife asked me, she said, what are you doing? So I wanted to show you. This is what we do with our kids. We have three envelopes that they get, and when they make money, they have to put half in the saving. They have to give their 10% to the church. I don't know if you guys do that with your kids yet. And then they can spend the other half. So once they, this helps them sort it out, what they do. And you know the one thing, because we started so early with the tithing, they don't even think about it. They don't even think about, oh, you know what, if I just had that extra $5 that's in the tithing envelope, I could get a bigger toy. They don't even go there. They're like, no, this belongs to the church. So start with your kids really early. This is a great idea. This is a great thing that's helped my wife and I, and it will set them up for success in life. So my wife and I have had an up and down journey with money. I made one mistake that cost us 5 years of debt. Let me explain. You all see what I'm staring at? Who brings a motorcycle into a church? Pastor Jen seen me pull up in it this morning, and she's like, who is driving that motorcycle? I pop off my helmet. Jen, do you mind if I bring a motorcycle into the church this morning? Right? So let me pull this up. I'll try and pull it out of the way for communion, because I don't know... All right, can all you guys see this? I'm going to make a quick getaway after. Okay, let me tell you my journey with money. I told you the last time I was here, I bought my first house when I was 23 years old. It was 125 Livingston behind the Georgia Mall. I was working for the Parks and Rec Department at the time. I always felt a calling to go in the ministry. Fearful of it, afraid of it, didn't know what to do with my finances. And so we sold the house on 125 Livingston, bought a small townhouse in Letitia Heights. It paid for the car debt that we had. It paid off the credit card debt. It gave us a small down payment for the townhouse that we bought. And it paid for my first year of Bible college. Fantastic, right? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Fantastic decision, right? So then my wife and I, we sold that house. I went from Bradford Community Church working as a youth pastor. I went to Orillia, Calvary Church in Orillia, and I worked for 5 years. But when we moved to Orillia, as our time came, so we made money on the first house, we made money on the second house, and on the third house in Orillia, when I was moving to Ajax, I said, Jen, this is a great idea. You know, we've made money on the first two houses. We're moving to Ajax. I'm going to make a little bit more money as a youth pastor there. I really want a motorcycle. And she was like, okay, let's do it. And so we went looking at motorcycles. And this is a great story because she is pregnant with our fourth child. So she is waddling in there with me. And I said, babe, this is it. This is the bike I want. And so it's really funny because as I'm taking it out for a test drive, she's having contractions. And so I had my wife right where I wanted her. She said yes. So I'm like, no, I am signing this paperwork as fast as I can because if I walk away from the dealership right now, it's not going to happen. I know my wife. Her senses will come to her and she'll say, what was I thinking? So she's having contractions in the vehicle. I'm signing the paperwork as fast as I can. And we get out. I brought home my motorcycle. My wife had to call me because I was picking up the motorcycle the same day I brought home our fourth baby. She's like, Are you going to come get me? Yeah, I just need to drive the bike to Aurelia, and then I need to come back and get you. It was the greatest mandate. You're shaking your head at me. She's like, no. It was the greatest mandate of all time. I got a baby, and I got a motorcycle, and it was absolutely fantastic. But what happened as we were transitioning out of Aurelia in an Ajax, I don't know if you guys know this, everybody's making money on real estate. Everybody's making money on houses. The market completely fell in Aurelia. I don't know if you guys remember that. Houses were not, you're shaking, you know. And I almost lost my shirt in Aurelia. So that decision to move from Aurelia to Ajax and sell our house, it almost ruined us financially, because not only did we not get what we paid for the house, we got less than we paid for the house. And then you put real estate fees on top of that, and then you put a motorcycle payment on top of that, we were in trouble. And I got to tell you, the stress that came into our home, not only me going to Ajax. So what happened was we couldn't sell our house. For 6 months, our house wouldn't sell in Ajax. So I'm living on the couch, on my sister's couch in Ajax, while my wife is raising 4 kids in Aurelia, trying to keep the house spotless, clean. And what we started doing, I was racking up credit card debt in Ajax because I was going out for dinner, taking students out for dinner. I was racking up debt. My wife, to keep the house clean, she wasn't cooking. So she started going out getting fast food, and she was constantly out. You got to do what you got to do, right? But what happened was, before we knew it, we were $20,000 in debt. And that's how our ministry started in Ajax. And we were in the whole time we were in Ajax, the 6 years I was in Ajax as a youth pastor, it affected my ministry. It affected my marriage. It affected my relationship with my kids. My anxiety started going up. I ended up in counseling because of financial stress, because there was lots of other stuff going on. But there was this extreme weight financially on us. And we can track it back to the house not selling and buying this. This killed us. This absolutely, now we've come out of it. We've come on the other side. I'm so glad we didn't sell it. Am I allowed to say that? Oh, I'm sorry. That came out. That shouldn't have come out. I should have kept that inside. So, that is my story. My wife says I should overshare, but I'm tired of coming into the church and pretending we're perfect. You know, we all have issues, and I think we need to be sharing more. So that brings us to our verse today, Proverbs 22:7. Let's pull that up on the board. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." So it took us whole 5 years to dig ourselves out of that debt. And so what do we do with this? I'm glad you asked. So the first thing we need to do is we need to get out of debt, and we need to align ourselves with God's will and pray and ask for self-control. How many of you need self-control in the area of finances? Yeah, some of us do. Some of us are honest about it. How many of you like retail therapy? Anybody here like retail therapy? We got a few people. Am I allowed to say, as a guy, I love retail therapy? Is there any other guys that would admit to loving retail therapy? Anybody? No? Princess, thank you! All right. This is my retail. This is one of the items I bought. I was having a crummy day in grade 12. I went to Barrie Central. Anybody else here go to Barrie Central? Years ago? Yeah, we do. Absolutely. So you know how you could just hop on the transit bus, go up to Georgia Mall? I was having a crummy day, and I thought, you know what, how I'm just going to make myself feel better. I'm going to go up to Champs in the Georgia Mall, and I'm going to buy myself a Wayne Gretzky jersey. So that is my retail therapy item that I bought. But if we are going to get ourselves out of debt and get ourselves in line with God, we got to stop retail therapy. Retail has to stop for a season. It doesn't have to stop forever. But for a season, retail therapy, we need to put our brakes on that and say, God, give us self-control. Everybody say self-control. And so it doesn't mean we have to stop forever, but for seasons, we're going to have to live like nobody else so that tomorrow we can live like nobody else. It may mean for you guys and me, it may mean not buying your coffee every morning and brewing coffee at home. It may mean limiting how many times you buy your lunch during the week or buying dinner for the family. And I know, buying dinner for the family, we are tired society, aren't we? I know as a parent, sometimes it's easier just to go to Little Caesars, grab a $5 pizza, and put it on the table because we are tired. But if we're going to get a hold of our debt, these are the kind of things we need to say, God, give me self-control. The second thing we need to do, if you're keeping notes, is pray for understanding. We need to understand debt because I think a lot of us, we don't understand how money works. When you go to make a big purchase, what are the questions we ask? How much down? How much do we need to put down? And how long and how much is the payment going to be per month? We don't ask, what is this going to cost in the long run? And I found this is really interesting. CBC reported last year that 44% of Canadians are $200 away from being in financial ruin. They're $200 away of not being able to pay their debt. So the average this really blew me away. The average non-mortgage debt, are you ready for this? Stood at $29,312 per person in Canada. That's what the average is. The average credit card balance is $4,154. So there it is. So if you're going to pay off that credit card debt of $4,154, and let's just say the interest is at 20%, and we do, I think that's a fair payment of $120 a month. That'll take you 4 years, 4 months, and you're going to pay $2,091.32 in interest for $4,154. And if you want to find out how you can calculate the compound interest, go to creditcanada.com. So you can punch in what your debt is and how much the payment will actually be with compound interest. Crazy, eh? That's a lot of money. Think about the things that you could be doing with your money. The third thing we need to pray for is ask God, give me a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, like buy a motorcycle, you will never have enough. It's wild how we can so easily fall into debt and we can't fall out of it. God's word is saying if we make a plan, we can have more than what we need. I love that. If God's plan, God is saying if we make a plan, we can have more than we need. So one of the things, what can you guys do to get out of financial debt? What are we doing starting Monday night, Jen? Financial classes starting Monday night. Because a lot of us, like me, don't understand finances and how they work. So we get under the teaching of the people who do know how finances work. What time does financial class start on Monday? 7 o'clock. So sign up for it. If you are in this area where you're like, I got to do something about my debt and I need to do something about it today, then come Monday night and sign up for it. It'll be fantastic. One of the things that as my wife and I have got out of debt and now we're working on our mortgage, it was a lot of fun. One of the fun things about when you don't owe anybody anything is you get to pick what you want you get to be free in what you want to pick. I'm a big Apple guy. Okay, so I go into the Apple store and I get the gimmies. Anybody ever get the gimmies? How many of your kids get the gimmies? Any of your kids in here get the gimmies? My kids didn't get the gimmies until they went over to somebody's house and they watched a commercial. We don't have cable in our house. We just have Netflix. And so they were actually quite old before they seen a commercial, which was really funny. And right away, my youngest was like, I want that. I want that. I want that. We get the gimmies. And as adults, we also get the gimmies because when I go into the Apple store, I want everything on there. But once I finally got out of debt, not out of mortgage debt yet, but once we got out of debt, one of the things I said to Jen is my computer's dying. I want to buy a new computer. So one of the things that I did is I put aside all my finances from speaking. So if I go into the church and they give me anything, it went into an envelope. And it took me about a year and a half to save up for an iPad 12 Pro I forget how many gigabytes it is, but I was so excited to walk in the store and pay cash for it because I needed a new computer, and I want that color, I want that many gigabytes, and I walked out and I said, hey, you know what, I actually want the Apple Pencil to go with that. And it was fantastic, and I don't have to feel guilty about it because it took me a year and a half to save up for this Apple iPad. And I don't know if I have really bad eyesight, my eyes are terrible, so to have the Apple iPad when I'm preaching and to be able to make, see, she's got it. I can stretch out the words. I can make it big. I can be able to see it. One of the things I want to finish with is when we get out of financial debt, I don't know about you, but the dreams that you can start having. If you had no financial debt right now, what would you dream about doing? All of us have things that we want to do. Some of us were passionate about the homeless. Some of us are passionate about single moms. Some of us are passionate about the poor. And we always say, you know, if I had the money, I would do this. Have you guys ever said that? If I had the money, I would do this. We all want to help out in some area, and we all want to give in some area, but typically the reason why we don't is because we don't have the finances to be able to do it, and so we think, one day, I will be able to do it. But what if today we made a plan and said, this is the day I'm going to make a plan to get out of debt so that I can start doing kingdom things. I can start doing things that God has put inside me that I am passionate about. Can you imagine seeing a need, going down to a homeless shelter and just saying, you know what, I want to write a check. How much do you need? $1,000? Fantastic. I can do that because I'm financially set up to be able to do that. One of the things I was really passionate about doing was becoming a children's author. Did you guys see my guy up here? What did you say? I had no idea who McGee and Me was. Yeah, I know. I've had a few people tell me that it looks like McGee and Me. So one of the things I was super passionate about doing was I wanted to become a children's author. I had all these dreams of writing books. So this is Chase, okay? Now, Chase has a friend. He finds a four-wheeler, okay? The four-wheeler is going to teach Chase different principles from the Bible. So they're going to live out life. Thank you. That was really nice. It was a tipping. I got AppleCare. Paid for that, too. Cash. So the concept of this book is to teach kids in everyday life different parables from the Bible. So this one's called, this one's about the golden rule. Chase sees one of his friends being bullied. He gets mad, and that's when the four-wheeler wakes up and says, you know what, if you go over there and handle it this way, you're going to do it wrong. This is what the Bible says, how to handle it. So they make a plan together on how they can handle it. And I thought, you know what? I want to go. One of my dreams is to go into schools and to do anti-bullying seminars, assemblies in schools. But I could never achieve this because of how much debt we were in. And I got, next month, I have 3 schools booked to go into and talk about anti-bullying using the golden rule. So this is my guy. I was able to pay cash for my guy. I was from Quality Print in Barrie. I was able to buy, I got bolts as well. Would you like a book, by the way? You want a book? Yeah? Yeah, that's yours. Let me know what you think after, okay, sweetie? But those dreams, I think we all have dreams of things. This may not be your dream, but you've got something. God has put something inside of you that you would love to do. He's gifted you in a certain way that would be like, you know what? I'm really passionate. I have a heart for this area of ministry. You know what? I get really excited when a missionary comes in the church and they're helping orphans, and I would love to go on the missions field, and I would love to help build an orphanage or build a school or something along that line. Whatever it is, God has put something inside of you, and typically the reasons why we can't live it out is because we're in debt. And we keep on saying, one day, only if, you know, one day when I'm no longer in debt, this is what I want to do. So let's, just for a moment, dream. What would you want to do if money wasn't an issue? What would it be like for you to be able to say, I'm going to sign a $200 check. Pastor Jen's got a great evangelism event coming up, And I'm like, I'm so passionate about seeing people walk into church for the first time. And I know she could probably use help in this area. Here's $200. What if money was no longer an issue? What if we were, you know, sometimes when we hear pastors talk about money all the time, it's like, ugh, the money talk again. This is twice this month. Right? Right? I've been there. I've sat where you guys have sat. It's like, not again. Money doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be, man, money can really release us to do some incredible things. And I think God has already given us the resources to be able to do it. I think we've just misused them. I think I've misused them. But seeing how God is just the dreams that I've had and knowing right now money isn't in the way to be able to do them. It is the most exciting thing we can do to live out those God-given dreams that He's put inside us. So what is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you would like to start dreaming about today? And it can start today. And you could say, Pastor Steve, you have no idea how much debt I'm in. It doesn't matter how much debt you're in. It just matters that we start. Even if it's the smallest payment, taking money off the principal of our debt. We just need to start. We just need to make a plan. And guess what? You may fumble up again, but you can start again. Don't be discouraged by maybe where your bank account is sitting. Because God has some really, really big dreams that He wants to do through you. And that is exciting. Amen, church? Yeah. Pastor Jen?
Thank you, Steve. As I was sitting and listening, the line that stood out to me, because it can get frustrating hearing about money, but when Steve said this, he says, when we get our finances in order, we are released to do amazing things. I want to feel that release for our church family. I want you to experience the release that God has for each one of us to do what God is calling us to do in our families, in our homes, and in our church family. What is God calling us to do? And as I was thinking about that whole idea of debt and that stress is bad, I was reminded that Jesus paid our debt. That the greatest relational debt we've ever had is to be at distance from God because of sin, which creates a debt. And there's absolutely nothing that we could have done to have paid that debt. There isn't like, okay, I've done 10 good things and now I'm good with God. Sin totally separated us from God. And yet, Isaiah says this, Isaiah 53 says this, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. And I was reminded with that passage that Jesus took the burden of our debt, our relational debt with God, onto Himself, and He paid it all. He paid it all. There's nothing left for us to pay except for the debt of love. To love God for everything that He's given to us. And so this morning we get to do a little bit of that, a little bit of loving God by remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we celebrate communion because He told us to. He told us to remember what I've done for you. Remember the debt that I've paid that was so great. There was absolutely nothing that you could do, but I paid it. Jesus paid our debt completely, completely. And so anytime that we feel at odds or at a loss or just overwhelmed with life, we just need to go back to that scripture that says, I paid it for you. It's not about what you can do. It's what about I can do. And we need to be putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ every single day. And if you've never done that, but you feel this tremendous debt, this distance between you and God, I want you to know that today you can accept what Jesus did for you. That you can say, I know that I can't do anything to make myself right with God. But because of what Jesus did, I'm gonna figure that out more. I want to know more about what Jesus did for me to make me right with God. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to pray the prayer that says, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I have sin in my life, but I also know that you paid my debt. And so I want to follow you. Because what I'm hearing is that you can help me in every single area of my life, and I can be set free from the burden of sin and the weight that it causes in my life, and I can live eternally with you. That's the promise that we have in Christ.